Well, the European Parliament expressed its opinion in a very clear manner on 18 September of last year, mm-hmm. after the continuation of the crackdown, first Mamaro, then Leyla Yunus, then Rasul Jafarov. At that time, the European Parliament adopted a resolution that never was as clear as the one adopted. And there we request a whole set of things to the Azerbaijani government, of course, the liberation of all the political prisoners, to comply with all the conventions of the Council of Europe, to which Azerbaijan is a party, by the way, mm-hmm. and many other questions, and also urging the European Union to take action, the European External Action Service to follow closely and to monitor all the trials of the opponents. And then, as you know, we had the case of Leyla Yunus as a candidate of to the Sakharov Prize. She didn't win the Sakharov Prize, but the Conference of Presidents of the European Parliament decided to follow closely the developments, to send a delegation over there. And now you probably know about this whole story of the doctors that are visiting Leyla Yunus mm-hmm. in prison. And I mean, the thing is going on. Right. It's going on also in light of the recent arrest of Ismailova, that is even casting a further darker shadow on Azerbaijan. This thing could be partly softened by this pardon that took place beginning of this year, mm-hmm. but of the 80 prisoners, very few are political prisoners, we all know that.
Yes.
Having said that, we are looking forward to new initiatives by the Council of the European Union, by the human rights representative of the European Union, and we are, I don't know if it makes sense, because so far we have been disappointed quite a few times, but we are still counting that the second wave of pardoning that has been announced and could take place in the springtime could include all the people we care about.
You're hoping that the next pardon will have the names of all political prisoners?
Yes. Okay. Yes, of the most prominent ones. This is a wish, an expectation, call it whatever you want. But mm-hmm. We are working for that, and we hope that our calls are being
taken into account.
Yes.
Right. And what about the reaction from Azerbaijan?
Two kinds of reactions. The first one is this phobia that is circulated artificially, that foreign agents are trying to destabilize
right.
Azerbaijan for different geopolitical purposes. This is the mm-hmm. this is the most rhetorical one. The second one is the question of double standards, because they are raising every time the question of double standards.
Mm-hmm.
That is, we cannot accept lessons from Europe because Europe is turning a blind eye on our refugees, mm-hmm. on our displaced people from Nagorno-Karabakh, and at the same time they're accusing us of not respecting civil liberties and democracy and so on. Okay, so this is the most used excuse, I would say. I'm speaking myself, belonging to a group that has always been clear on the question of Nagorno-Karabakh. That is, I acknowledge the fact that the European Union has been very ambiguous on the whole story, because you cannot invoke the principle of territorial integrity for all the countries in the Eastern Partnership except for Azerbaijan. That doesn't make sense. I mean, this is inconsistent. This is really, I mean, this is wrong. We always said it in the European Parliament so many times that, and we repeated it, we wrote it, and so on. This is clear. But this is one thing, because having said that, acknowledging and recognizing that, that's not a justification for the crackdown on opponents and human rights activists. I think you can agree with me, because
absolutely.
There are some principles that should be respected.
Absolutely.
I mean, I frankly don't understand the reactions of the Azerbaijani parliament threatening any kind of boycott, relations with the European Parliament, relations with the Euronest Assembly and things like this, because their reactions have been in this direction so far. We hope that they can get back a little bit of common sense and understand that what's happening there is simply intolerable for a country whose ambition is to deepen and to develop further relations with the European Union. They should know very well. Either they care really to improve the relations with the European Union, or the European Union will simply be a client of their oil and gas, and that's it.
And is it something that EU could possibly go with? Just being the client and sort of turning a blind eye on the human rights situation?
Many analysts and observers say that Azerbaijan looks more and more like Belarus. The only difference is that in Azerbaijan you have oil and gas, while there is nothing like that in Belarus. That's why we have sanctions on Belarus and we don't have sanctions on Azerbaijan. Right. This is partly true. This is partly true. But you must take into account the fact that the Azerbaijani authorities have always shown a certain willingness to engage with the European Union, at least as for their declaration and statements. So this must be taken into account. That, in my opinion, I've been following Azerbaijan, and if I take a look, for example, at the bordering countries, I can tell you that 10 years ago, the situation in Azerbaijan, or even 5 years ago, the situation in Azerbaijan as concerned democracy and human rights was much, much better than now. This is a fact. Right. And if I take a look at Armenia, it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago and 5 years ago, the situation of human rights in Armenia was much worse than now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the two things are asymmetrical. Both countries are in a state of war, but on one hand, Armenia is improving the situation of human rights. On the other hand, you don't see any improvement. So this is the story. So
there's a common expectation among advocates in Azerbaijan, hoping that there will be more reaction coming in.
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're telling me. I mean, if it were for me, I would start really threatening sanctions, because that's the only instrument that has been left in the hands of the European Union. Mm-hmm. But the logic is different, unfortunately, at the level of the Council, and they are not willing to take that step that should be taken, according to me, because time has come to show that we mean what we threat.
If the Council of Europe is not very willing, there's very little to hope on behalf of Azerbaijan.
Well, I mean, Council of Europe is different from the European Union, because anyway, we can, the European Union can, if it wants, step up the pressure, even at the economic and trade level, and we have the instruments to do that. The Council of Europe, unfortunately, they cannot do that. So this is the difference. That's why now, I mean, that I think that the European Union can play a bigger role in the whole issue. But unfortunately, as of now, we are not able to do that. So the situation is stuck, really, and the Azerbaijanis understand it, and they feel their hands free to do whatever they want. That's Council of Europe, I mean, this organization of all the European countries, mm-hmm. and it's based on a process of integration on democracy, human rights, and convention on social rights, and things like this, mm-hmm. which is a separate body compared to the European Union. Azerbaijan is a member of the Council of Europe. He is committed to respect all the conventions that he is party to. Yet they're not doing it.
While it was chairing the Committee of Ministers, it jailed so many people in Azerbaijan. No one has raised the question.
No, okay. No one raised this question. And this is problematic as well for the reputation of the Council of Europe, which has always been supportive of human rights and democracy in all the countries of the members, of course.
How much you think of this not raising this issue has to do with the caviar diplomacy and the ESI report?
That's correct. I can see that also in the European Parliament. The Azerbaijani lobbying is very strong and very powerful. Yeah, it's true.
And
it's true.
Yeah. Is there a chance that Europe would boycott the games like they did during Sochi Olympic Games in Russia?
I think that the next 2-3 months will be crucial for that. Because I'm sure that either we have concrete signs that something is changing or there is some sort of indulgence towards the political prisoners, or I'm sure that the voices in the European Parliament who are invoking or are calling for a boycott will go stronger and stronger. And then they will not be stopped. And then whatever will happen, if there is a position of the European Parliament calling for the boycott and the opposition could grow strong, then it would be really difficult to have a regular organization of those games in Baku. We are trying to mobilize all the instruments that we can in order to improve the situation, in order to soften the situation, in order to show that there is a strong support for the people in Azerbaijan who are really aspiring to liberty, to freedom, to protection of human rights, and so on. And we are trying to do our best, of course, but not all the bodies in the European Union are acting the same way, let's put it this way. And this is the challenge now, really, to convince the Council to take action. I can tell you that the situation in the European Parliament lately has changed a lot, because even the voices that were more fond of the Azerbaijani government, they now keep silent. Mm-hmm. They don't dare say anything, because the opposition to the crackdown has grown very, very strong, is still very, very strong in the European Parliament. So from this point of view, I can tell you that either there is a change of strategy, either there are concrete signs, or the European Parliament will take, or we will voice its concerns in a much stronger way than what it did so far. This voice, anyway, is going to be heard by the Council, because the Council and Mogherini cannot simply turn a blind eye on what's going on just because the oil is cheap and the gas is necessary for the economy of the European Union, especially now that, as I said before, it's no problem to find gas as where, because the offer on the market is widespread.